The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. There's a familiar and famous Bible verse in this morning's gospel lesson. Did you catch it? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." And I feel like we see the title of that verse all over the place, on advertisements and billboards, t-shirts, even see it on the eye black of professional athletes every once in a while. However, the verse just before it, John 3:15, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life," is not only interesting, but maybe even just as important as the famous John 3:16. Now, those lines about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness is a reference to a story from the book of Numbers, a story that describes how God, dismayed at the grumblings of the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, sends venomous snakes to berate them. And as a result, the Israelites realize their dependence on God And God has Moses lift up a bronze snake on a pole so that whoever is bitten by one of these venomous snakes can look up and be healed. It's kind of a strange story. But imagine the trust that that would take. Imagine, if you will, being surrounded by venomous snakes on the ground all around you. And imagine the courage it would take not to be focused on the danger slithering around at your feet, and instead to look up. To look up to what God has provided in order to be healed. It takes trust. Now, I lived in the countryside of South Africa for a couple of years, a place where venomous snakes are a regular part of life. And I had encounters with snakes that scared the living daylights out of me. Once in, of all places, a chapel, and another place in a school. And don't worry, I survived, and we cared and took care of the snakes in an appropriate manner. But I was always, always so impressed with the people and the community I lived with. People who had lived in the South African countryside for years and who always remained aware of the snakes, but they weren't obsessed and freaked out by them like I was. They never ignored the danger. They knew how to deal with them properly, and they looked to what was important instead of letting fear and anxiety clamor for their attention. In this story for Numbers, it's when the Israelites exercise this trust by looking to what God has provided that they are healed and offered life. And just as the bronze snake was lifted up to heal the Israelites, we also hear this morning too how Jesus is lifted up to heal the world. And this lifting up physically and metaphorically refers to Jesus being lifted up on the cross. In John's gospel, the crucifixion represents God's great act of redemption and healing. And if we look at it through the lens of Numbers and the bronze snake, it's not about payment or punishment. It's about giving life. The crucifixion in John's gospel represents the moment when God's love is made known. In the face of violence, God is going to continue to do what God has always done: love. And looking up at the cross invites us into a new way of life. And again, this requires a lot of trust. To look up from all that surrounds us, the snakes of our day, our preoccupations, our concerns, our anxieties, and our fears, and to look upon the cross, trusting that God's love made known in Jesus will show us another way. Another way not based in selfishness or violence or oppression, but rather another way of forgiveness, mercy, reconciliation, and compassion that draws us into deeper and a more abundant life. A life that draws us into the unreserved love of God that brings life and healing into the world. And it's this kind of trust that Jesus is trying to call Nicodemus to in this morning's gospel story. Nicodemus is kind of an interesting and complicated character. He was a Pharisee. He was part of the Jewish establishment and the religious authority. And yet, he acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher who has come from God. For no one, he says, can do the things and the signs that Jesus does apart from the presence of God. And if you notice, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night when it's dark out. And scholars say that the time of day that Nicodemus comes to Jesus is significant. The theme of light and dark come up quite a bit throughout John's gospel, light often being associated with those who profess Jesus to be divine, and darkness with those who aren't quite there yet. Nicodemus is not ready to go public with his acknowledgement that Jesus has been sent from God. So he comes to Jesus under the shadows of darkness so as not to be seen or recognized by anybody he might know. And at the time when John's gospel was written, probably towards the later half of the first century, Jewish Christians were being forced out of synagogues. So for Nicodemus, who was part of the Jewish establishment, there was a lot at stake. If he was in the open about his acknowledgement of Jesus being sent from God, his social status as a respected religious authority would be at risk. He'd probably be thrown out of the synagogue. So Nicodemus believes in his mind that Jesus is sent from God, but he's not yet willing to take that next step, to trust in God and to let his life be reoriented by God's love. In response to Nicodemus coming to him at night, Jesus explains, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." It's kind of a confusing sentence that can be translated a few different ways. Born again, born anew, born from above. In the Gospel of John, this is sometimes done for a reason, in order to spark our imaginations and encourage us to want to learn more. But poor old Nicodemus seems to miss the memo about all of that, and he takes what Jesus says quite literally, and he latches on to that certain translation to be born again. How can someone be born again? That's not physically possible. But of course, Jesus is speaking in metaphor. He's inviting Nicodemus into a new way of trusting in God, a new way of life. Robert Kaiser, a New Testament theologian, writes that this idea of the birth by the Spirit is a kind of metaphor to suggest the way in which the life of the believer emerges as a result of being embraced by the presence of God. To be born again, to be born anew, to be born from above, is to live into the fullness of God that God offers, and that is made known in Jesus. In response to Nicodemus's hesitancy, Jesus invites him to dwell, to rest, to abide in God's love, and to let that transform his life. I think in many ways, we probably all have a little bit of Nicodemus in us. We're spiritually open and curious, rational, at least most of the time. We probably all have our moments here and there. But we desire a relationship with Jesus. But just like Nicodemus, I think we sometimes wrestle with our very human tendency to want recognition or social status or achievement, with Jesus' invitation to truly let our lives be transformed by God's love. In John's gospel, faith and belief are not so much about what we do with our minds, but more so about what we do with our hearts and with our lives. Those verses I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon about God giving his only son and about Jesus being lifted up on the cross remind us that God is so in love with creation, with a world that sometimes strays and rejects God, that he sends his son to dwell among us so that we might come back to him. This is an abundant, expansive love beyond our imagination. Today's gospel lesson invites us during the season of Lent to look up from the snakes of our lives, those preoccupations and anxieties that draw us from God's goodness, and to ask ourselves, how are we allowing our lives to be reoriented by the abundant and unimaginable love of God? Amen.